Right now, though, total change of direction, a total eclipse of the heart, a total eclipse of America, you could say, because tens of millions of people showed up yesterday to watch day turn into night for a couple of minutes as a total solar eclipse took place. As we've been discussing for the last couple of days building up to this event, it was a limited sphere of visibility. It was only in Mexico, the USA and parts of Canada that you had any chance of seeing the full impact of the total solar eclipse. The path of the phenomenon basically stretched in an arc across the continent. And it was very interesting. I saw a map map detailing Airbnb bookings for Sunday night. And it was this orange. The orange designated the areas which had 100% occupancy, basically. And it was the exact path of the eclipse. It was obviously a huge tourist attraction in America. And we had towns bracing themselves for impact of massive influx of tourists, etc. And I thought we'd just take a moment today to find out what it was like from two people who were there to see it for themselves. One of them is my colleague Bruce Hong, the producer of Good Morning Cape Town, who intentionally timed a family holiday to America to coincide with this event so that they would be able to see the eclipse and, most importantly, so that he'd be able to share the experience with his young son. And then in a few minutes' time, we'll also hear from one of our regular listeners. How often have I read a message from Marcel in Ohio? Well, I thought, dang it, we'll go to Ohio and find out what it was like there. But we're going to start in Texas. Bruce Hong is on the line with us. And Bruce, you've shared some fantastic photographs of the experience, which I know our digital team has shared on the Cape Talk platforms. Lovely to have you on the show this afternoon. And thank you so much for being available to us. Did it live up to expectations? You literally took the whole family halfway around the planet to see this. What was it like?
Very relieved that the clouds broke in time for us to watch it, Pippa, because we were bundled of nerves as to where we needed to be on eclipse day, because following the weather forecast over the past week and a bit, I mean, we all knew from our daily weather forecast that when you look at the medium term forecast a week ahead, that they're not quite accurate than you hope. I mean, some days the forecast said, oh, 50% or 45% cloud cover. Others said, oh, there'll be rain and thunderstorm. And then, oh, it'll only be about 30%. So we were really nervous as to where we should be in Texas, because Texas is a huge state. Yeah. We have many options. And we were also scared about how the traffic would be on the various highways, because last week we traveled from where we were out of Dallas into Dallas Central down towards Houston, and we saw how early in the morning at 5 a.m. the highways were chock-a-block full at that time. And that's a normal work day. And so we just didn't know what to expect on the eclipse day, whether we needed to leave at 3 a.m. Whatsoever.
Yeah.
But we took a chance. The forecast started to look a little bit more promising. It did show that there would be quite a bit of cloud cover. And then I think yesterday morning at 7:30, we looked at the weather forecast and we started to look, and they started saying, okay, try here, try there. We decided not to walk ahead eastwards towards Dallas itself, where there would be a longer duration for totality. We instead headed south of Fort Worth, mm-hmm. To a tiny little town called Cleburne, because my wife's cousin's wife had a client there, and she'd been in this tiny little town of about 33,000 people, which good chance we went there. Clouds was touch and go. When we arrived, it was, you could see some breaks in the clouds. And then I spoke to John Latham just before 6 p.m. South African time yesterday. And I snapped a picture and he said, oh, no, it doesn't look good at all. And the weather kept, the cloud cover changed literally every 15 minutes. We were just hopeful that some of the bigger clouds would just mosey on by and leave us be. And we were fortunate. The partial eclipse started local time at about 20 past 12. And there was parts of it where we couldn't see anything at all because of the clouds. And then as that crescent of the sun started getting smaller and smaller and smaller, we saw that there was a break, a wonderful break. And then the moment of totality came, there was a huge frenzy from myself, because I was trying to capture the moment both on the video camera and on my big camera. And the one thing that you need to do in order to view totality is you if you're wearing this special eclipse glasses beforehand, yeah, is to whip them off, because otherwise it'll black out everything. And for the camera is to whip off the filter, which was a bit of a challenge for me to do, but I managed to snap a couple of good pictures.
Yeah.
And like in the moment, it was this moment when I noticed that you, prior to this, you see everything gradually get darker and darker. There's a difference. It's not like sunset at all, because sunset, you get an orangey type of light. We're all familiar with that. It's not like an overcast sky, because that is a flat color. When it, as the eclipse develops stronger and stronger, it's almost like those artificial daylight lamps you get at home, that cold, cold looking light. And that casts itself. You see harsh shadows, so you know it's not cloud cover, but it's just very flat and cold. Almost like those movie night scenes where you know it's an artificial blue filter that's being applied. That's what you get. And then the birds, we were in the park, tiny park with about a dozen or so other people from out of state, and a bird started singing. There weren't too many, but you definitely noticed that the birds were singing, thinking that it's nighttime. And then the moment of totality came, and it went dark very, very quickly. And as you looked up there, in this vast expanse of the sky, you saw this halo, this black, surrounded by this awesome halo that's very alive. All those pictures that I took there didn't show how the corona was like, this flares outwards. It was amazing. We could see, I could see two planets. To the right of the eclipse, we saw Venus. And to the left, we saw Jupiter, both of which at this time of the year would not be visible because it would be too bright in the sky. And some of the stargazers told me afterwards that they also managed to pick out Mercury, which we hardly ever see because of its close proximity to the sun, but they managed to see Mercury as well.
Bruce, I'm sure our listeners can hear what I'm hearing in your voice. It sounds like it was quite an emotional experience for you. I mean, you'd gone all of that way. This was something I know you wanted not only to see for yourself, but very much wanted to be able to share with your son. How did he respond to it? What was it like watching him see his first total solar eclipse?
So building up today, he just turned 13 on Sunday, and he kind of was excited, you know, because we got pictures of my previous solar eclipse on the walls of my home, etc. And I knew that he just didn't get it. It was like myself, you know, until you see it with your own eyes, you won't quite get it. And like we always tell people who've seen the 99.9% eclipses around South Africa, etc., they say, oh, we saw that through the glasses. I said, no, you actually haven't. You saw a partial eclipse. And then when it happened there, you know, I wish I'd taken a picture of him. The amount of the jaw dropping and the the sense of awe and the ahs and the oohs and the yays that were coming from all over from people.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens, because nothing quite prepares you for such a sight, you know, to, like I say, not just a jaw-dropping moment where your mouth is open involuntarily and you just have nothing to say other than making guttural sounds, I suppose. And then after tea, without any prompting, he did say, as it ended, when the sun reemerged, he did turn to myself and Lisa, Mom, and he said, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. I'm joking right now.
Oh, Bruce, I mean, I'm just so thrilled for you that you got to share this experience. I know how much it meant to you, and I'm sure our listeners can hear that in your voice, how much it meant to you. But to have that moment with your son that you were hoping for, it just makes it so special. I want to bring in Marcel at this point. Marcel, our listener in Ohio, a longtime listener to the show who often communicates with us from Ohio. And Marcel, you know, you sent us a little message earlier today when we were setting up this chat. You also had a very emotional response to the experience, didn't you? We're thrilled to have you on the show live in person today. Thank you for joining us. Listening to Bruce's description, did that resonate with you? Did you feel the same way?
Oh, Pippa, absolutely. Firstly, just thank you for letting me just peek behind the parasocial curtain. But honestly, it was the most one of the most wow experiences of my life. And you know, when I was certainly derisive of all these crazy people traveling to see the solar eclipse. And like people have said, I've seen it in South Africa. I remember in the 90s or the 2000s with the X-ray sheets and looking up at the sun, but But that is nothing compared to seeing that halo and the blackness of the moon, and that it's not a real black. It was truly one of the, like I say, just one of the most incredible moments of my life. And I didn't expect it to have such an impact on me. That's for sure.
Marcel, I mean, what sort of plans did you make to allow yourself to see it? You said you'd been a little bit derisive of people who'd made plans to travel to go and look for it. Were you lucky enough to live directly under the path that you could just sort of stroll outside and take a look?
We were fortunate enough that our house experienced 2 minutes and 17 seconds of the total eclipse, so there was no traveling. There was just spending $15, which also just made me a bit mad, on two pieces of those paper glasses.
Yeah,
I did a couple of burgers outside, and we sat outside, and myself and my wife watched it and experienced it, and I didn't expect it There was no expectations of what I might see, and when I saw it, I couldn't believe it, what the experience was. I mean, just to see that, and also, I mean, you even were able to see the solar flares coming off the sun, and Pippa, it was. I'm a fairly effusive person, but I just struggled to find the words to describe just how thoroughly and encompassingly, like, awesome it was. Yeah.
Did it, I mean, from what both you and Bruce have described, which I didn't realize would be part of the experience, it seems like you got a glimpse not only of just, wow, this incredible thing happening with the sun, but also that ability to have a perspective on the other planets out there, which one normally doesn't. Marcel, did that sort of make you did it give you a sense of your tininess in the bigger universe out there to some extent?
To be fair, absolutely. I'll just, like, without a doubt. And because I'm very fortunate. I mean, I'm not that, like, I enjoy space, and I don't know how to explain that. It's amazing. And our universe is so, like, infinitesimally huge, which is not a word or a phrase, but you get that sense of, like, we are just a speck of dust in a huge, huge space.
Marcel, you were watching in the northeastern corner of Ohio. For those who don't know, they're American states. That's fairly far northeast on the American continent. Yeah. So was the weather and the visibility better there than in other parts of the country? I mean, it sounds like you got a real full-blown experience where some people really, really suffered because of cloud cover. Was it nice and clear where you were?
Yeah, so So the morning, there was just clouds. In the morning, there was rain, clouds, and by the afternoon, it had cleared up. I mean, there was still there were a lot of clouds around, and certainly they would pass in front of the sun, but they weren't those dense sort of cumulonimbus clouds or the big thicker clouds that would darken the sun. So we were able to see, you still needed your glasses even through the clouds to look at the sun. So fortunately, it was like that.
So having been clearly so unexpectedly moved by the experience this time round, Marcel, does it change your perspective on eclipse chases? Are you now sort of going to Google to find out when the next one is happening and where you have to go to see it?
Oh, Papa, I don't know. You know what? I tell you, living in America, you learn quickly that money is very different here, and I still have a hard time, like, thinking about the amount of money that the hotels were, and I don't know if I'll ever be doing eclipse chases, but if I'm around the place, I'll definitely take the time to experience it. That's for sure.
Marcel in Ohio.
Yeah. If you can, it is worth it. That is what I will say. Yeah.
Marcel Beaux, so lovely to put a voice properly to the name and the voice on the voice notes after all of these years. Marcel speaking out to us from Ohio. I'm going to finish by bringing it back to you, Bruce Hong. I mean, we all heard the emotion in your voice and what you experienced and the bonding moment with your son of witnessing this together. Now, for you, this was not your first experience. You have seen one before now. The next one is only 2 years or so away. Was the experience so special for you that you think you would perhaps be moved to do it again, to go to either Greenland or Iceland in August of 2026 to experience the next one? Or was this moment the perfect moment you'd hoped for and that's a memory that's good enough?
Well, I'm not going to go. I was speaking to one of the other chasers who was there in Texas from LA yesterday. He said he's planning to go back to his home country where his parents are from in Spain. And yep. For them, it'll be at sunset. We won't be going there, I don't think. I'm tempted to, but I don't think, because he was talking about the probability at that time of year, what the weather's like, cloud cover. He was not very optimistic. What I will say is that for South Africans, start booking into your diary now. I think it's 2030. Durban.
Okay.
There will be a total eclipse in Durban 2030. Put in your diary now. Put lead in with Tessa, with the bosses, and book a slot in 2030, because I think I'll be doing that if I'm still here at Cape Talk. Okay. Definitely something we do. We didn't want to wait. We planned for this one. We were thinking, okay, there's a bit of a back plan at, plan B for 2030,
yep.
But we had to go for this one. Yeah, well, so 2030, put in your calendar.
Well, I'm so glad it worked out for you as well as it did, Bruce. And while you are near Fort Worth, try and swing by my former hometown of Arlington, which is just to the east of Fort Worth. Give it away for me. And we look forward to having you back in Cape Talk studios in the near future. But for now, thank you so much for that wonderful, to both Bruce and Marcel. Thank you for giving us that extraordinary bird's eye view of what you, not just what you saw, but what you felt in witnessing the total eclipse. For those who do now feel, gosh, I've missed something and I must try and catch the next one. 12th of August, 2026, and it'll be visible in Greenland, Iceland, and Spain. That is when the next total solar eclipse is expected, and there'll be one in 2027 as well. So perhaps something we need to start planning for in the meantime.